Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone out there in internet land. Say it all. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Charles Silas with Impact Now Radio. And I just want to say good afternoon to everyone. Hopefully, y'all having a good day, good lunch, a pretty good day at work. So I just want to go ahead and get right into this. For all those that might want to call in, that probably got a whiff of the show today and want to listen in, call in. The call-in number is 347-426-3065. Once again, 347-426-3065. One more time, area code 347-426-3065. Also, you can contact me after the show if you have any questions, comments, anything you might want to add on, if you need prayer, if you want to be born again, if you have questions about the Holy Scriptures. Feel free to shoot me an email at ccthomas178@gmail.com. Once again, ccthomas178@gmail.com. Just shoot me an email and I'll get back to you rather quickly. I check my emails a few times a day. So if you have a question, a comment, discern, you know, if you want to have good dialogue about the Word of God, or if you just have some questions, some things that you might not understand or seems confusing about the Holy Scriptures, I'll shoot you my number and we can most definitely talk to hopefully that the Holy Spirit will give me the enlightenment and counsel that is needed to help enlighten you on His Word. And, you know, because really this is what it's about. It's not about tearing anything or anyone down, but it is about, in these last days, warning the people of God of the dangers that is coming down the road as far as false teachings, false doctrines, and how the enemy is coming through various people with false signs and lying wonders and everything else, you know, to help the people of God to understand that not everyone that says they are a follower of Christ are truly followers of Christ, whether regardless of how big their name might be or how many titles they got in front of their name or how many degrees they got. That doesn't equate to a born-again believer. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. Lord God, already at the end of the first month, Lord God, where it seems like just a few days ago, we were in the beginning of the new year, Lord God. Now we're already closing out the first month, Lord God. For truly, the sun is speeding up, Lord God. Things are speeding up, and with time speeding up, with days speeding up, that means time is growing short. So, Lord God, we just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will begin to take this walk with you seriously. We'll begin to take your word seriously. We'll begin to take this life seriously. And then we will also begin to take the spirit world seriously, oh God. That, Father, that there are really people that are servants and soldiers for Satan, oh God, i.e. witches, warlocks, people that practice voodoo, black magic, and all forms of witchcraft and spiritualism and palm reading and just hitmen, you know, people that are totally demon possessed that will go and kill anyone, you know, that does not serve the Lord Satan, isn't it? So, as they call him. So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that as we begin to look into your word today, Lord God, help us to understand, help those that might be listening live, those that might this about way of archive later on, Lord God, that Father, that they will hear something that will challenge them to study the word out for themselves, to step back and take an honest evaluation of the denomination that they are a part of and begin to really seek out the doctrine, the teaching, the history of that, and begin to see, one, does it line up with your word? And if not, Lord God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that they would look unto you and what to do and what steps to make, Lord God. And Father, we say thank you. And Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you would give me the wisdom to really break down this word on today, Lord God, that all might understand. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to jump right off into this. Once again, the topic that we're going to be dealing with, have been dealing with for the last about 2 weeks, is just Jesus, no additives. And once again, yesterday for about 15 minutes, I just went over where this message came out of, is the fact that we have to begin to understand that when we look at Christian television today, when we listen to a lot of the messages that are going forth, when you begin to look at a lot of these preachers that are bringing forth these so-called proclamations of the gospel, of the word of God, and revelations from Jesus Christ, and all this other stuff, when we really begin to read the word for ourselves, that a lot of this stuff just seems not to line up with the Holy Scripture. So with that, I know in my heart the Holy Spirit is impressing me to really begin to speak this, because it seems like in today's generation, ministries, churches, and preachers have become, I say, you know, more of salesmen than preachers of the gospel, because of the simple fact that when you are a preacher of the gospel, that is your mission, to preach the gospel. You are not to dress it up. You are not to sugarcoat it. You are not to sweeten it up, to make it appeal to a particular people group, a particular person. You are to speak God's word faithfully. And that's what he expects you to do, because he said, if any man addeth on to the words of this book, of this prophecy, shall the plagues be added on to him, you know, at the judgment. So we got to handle this word very carefully to make sure that we go line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you know, that we do exactly the way he shows us. So with that being said, we're going to jump off at Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 1, going to verse 17, then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and we're going to jump to this day dealing with just Jesus, no additives, with a focus on beginning to deal with Calvinism, or a particular teaching within the doctrine of Calvinism, is once saved, always saved. So we're going to begin to take a look at this and begin to set it up, and then, as the Lord will, the next couple of shows will be to really take it in depth, look at this, where it came from, and to really show that it doesn't line up with the Holy Scriptures. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which was preached, than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now and again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And so we're going to go ahead and jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Once again, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. Okay. As I said, the topic today is just Jesus, no additives, with a focus in dealing with Calvinism. But the first thing we see here in Galatians, he says that if any other person, even whether a man or angel, come and preach any other gospel than that those who have been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ has preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he comes here and to the church at Corinth, he, in verse 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And basically what he's saying was, is, look, I have made up in my mind and the very purpose of my preaching and the bedrock of my preaching will be nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the reason for that is because that is what was needed. That was what was done. That is what was happening to provide the way of salvation for every man who will come to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. It is nothing else. It is not prosperity. It is not naming and claiming. It's not your best life now. It's not, if you take over, the seven mountains, for the king. None of this foolishness adds up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the life of Jesus Christ that he walked in a way of complete holiness and righteousness and subjugation to the will of the Father, to live the life in perfection without sin, to live up to the dictates of the law, to go and be crucified so that the law can be fulfilled, in that the fact that death will not have reign over him because he is not a sinner. And death and sin can only have dominion over a sinful nature. And so therefore, when Christ went to the cross to die for all of us, he took all of us to the cross and nailed us to the cross. And only way that you will be able to come into the faith or take on and make that exchange of sin for righteousness is acknowledging and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and as the master of your life and as savior of your life. But, of course, with man, he can't leave things the way it is. He always has to add his 2 cents to it. So you begin to have people, even when the church was first birthed, on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, when the 120 was up there praying and got on fire and finally got in one mind and one accord, and the Holy Spirit descended and fell upon them with a manifestation, speaking in tongues, but just not that. And when people began to make mockery of them, thinking they were drunk, Peter rose up under the power and under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and began to preach and show them the proper way, and that they were not drunk with wine, but drunk with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, the Bible says, after he declared the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would by nature declare a man sinful, the people's hearts were pricked and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And on the first day, from one sermon preached, 5,000 people gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. 5,000. And so then the question becomes, why do we need to add on sideshows, circuses, and parties, and cookouts, and everything else to propagate, to bring forth, to proclaim the gospel? Is one, because people want to be entertained. Two, we want to soften up the gospel to make people feel comfortable, when yet the Holy Ghost don't care nothing about you being comfortable. What he cares about is, can you come to the honest conclusion that you are a damnable sinner that is scheduled for hell in need of salvation, therefore will embrace the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ that was butchered on the cross and resurrected on the third day, now sits on the right hand of God and sits on the right hand of power and dominion forever and ever. And therefore, for all those that would come to him, he would exchange our filth, our dirty garments, for his robe of righteousness. He would give us beauty for ashes. He would give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But there must first be an acknowledging of one as declaring oneself a sinner, declaring oneself that has fallen short of the glory of God, so that then the exchange can take place. And so with that, we come up with various doctrines and teachings to make people feel comfortable, to feel like they don't have to go through all that to really be saved. So we come to Calvinists. We come to this person who created this doctrine, the tulip system, and with which one of the things that mainly the Baptist and Presbyterian Church hold to, and many other believers, even those that so-called holiness and Pentecostals, is one thing you'll learn about me. I don't believe in no denominations, because denominations are not biblical, they're not scriptural, and they're not from Jesus. They're all man-made. And so with that, I'm going to read a quote on the findings, and basically they give you the gist of what Calvinism teaches, and the main part of this five pillars of, you know, of Calvinism, and the one thing that most people tend to believe that really in essence helped them to be comfortable to still be a sinner, but yet still say they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and I quote, "One of the major points of Calvinism is the eternal security of the believer or the perseverance of the saints. It is also called the impossibility of apostasy, or simply put, once saved, always saved. The doctrine teaches that it is impossible for a child of God to so sin as to fall from grace and be eternally lost. It is based on a belief that salvation is unconditional, so there is nothing a person can do to be saved. And once he is saved, there is nothing he can do to be lost." The one thing I'm going to say about that, then I'm going to read the scriptures that they use to somewhat justify this, that this is a lie that came from the mouth of hell itself. Because one thing is this: salvation is not unconditional. Salvation is conditional. The one scripture that universally is quoted but yet misunderstood is John 3:16. "Something is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, within that verse itself, it tells you that it's conditional, because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for that whosoever believeth in him." Now, you have to understand the language where there is what is called an ongoing or present participle or a present tense, where the word believeth means keep on believing. So really, it's just saying that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso keep believing in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not a one-time belief. It's not a one-time acknowledging. It is a lifetime, day-to-day beliefs, belief in believing and keep on believing and growing in belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement on the cross. It's not no one-time ordeal, because this is why Jesus says, "Unless a man take up his cross daily, he shall not be my disciple." Why is that? Because there could be one day that you could pick up your cross then the next day and say, you know what, I can't take this no more. So it's not a one-time ordeal, because the fact of the matter is Jesus went to the cross once to die for all because he was not a sinner, but yet he bore the brunt of sin, took sin upon him, and died the death of a sinner to condemn sin so that those that come to believe in him would take on his righteousness. But yet, because we still live in a sinful body, and we're constantly being delivered day to day from the sinful nature and the corruption of sin, we got to believe every day and keep on believing until we get to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the scripture says that for this we know that he that hath begun a good work shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, you see that he shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, which means there is a constant work that the Holy Spirit doing us day to day, day every day. And so that one scripture alone that is so quoted, yes, yet misunderstood, undermines the once saved, always saved. And that salvation is unconditional, because the thing is, if it's unconditional, then that means that I do not have to do anything. I'm just by default born again. I'm by default saved. But it says that whosoever believeth in him, to believe in him and keep on believing in him, that is an act of the will of the person to acknowledge that what he did is so, and that it did erase my sin in the sight of God if I choose to keep on believing in him and believe on his teachings. That is conditional, people. Salvation is exclusive. It's not inclusive. It reaches to all, but it only saves those who choose to come. So therefore, even though he died for all, but yet there's only a few that will receive. That's why I said many are called, but few are chosen. The thing is, God calls everybody, but you determine whether if you're chosen. So, with this said, one scripture that they use to justify once saved, always saved is the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. And one thing I admonish anybody to do anytime they listen, I believe I say this on every radio, even going back a year and a half, 2 years when we started this, is that anytime you listen to the show or anytime you listen to anyone teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God, quote the Word of God, get your own Bible, pull your Bible up in your tablet, your smartphone, your pocket, Bible, whatever you have, get the scripture or get a pen, piece of paper, write it down, go and read it for yourself and pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Is what being said is true. Okay, the Gospel of John, verse 27 through verse 29. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So right there, they tend to use with the once saved, always saved, that because he says, one, in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here go the reality of this, people. That, yes, when you truly give your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no one that could pluck you out of his hand. There's the devil, none of his fallen angels, none of the demons could come and pull you out of Jesus' hand, out of the Father's hand. That is true. However, because this is only looked at halfway and based off a half understanding of the scripture, the thing is, yes, you cannot be plucked out of the Father's hand. But it does not say you cannot walk away. It does not say that you cannot continuously live a lifestyle that continuously causes you to move further and further away from the Father. And so, therefore, this is why one scripture says it is you and your sin that has separated you from your God. So, therefore, sin is a separator. Sin will cause you to be all by itself, cause God to separate himself from you, because God cannot look on sin without wanting to destroy sin. So you might say, okay, well, if that's the case, if the world is got all these sinners in the world, why is it that God didn't destroy the world yet? You know what? Well, let's look at it like this. God did destroy the world once with water, but he saved a family through the man who is patriarch, was Noah, because he was perfect, or, you know, he did not sin or stray off to the degree and level in which everybody else would have remained, or the world at that time was straying off. And plus, he was still genetically perfect. His blood was not tainted by the contamination that was going on at the time because of these fallen angels. So God took him and started all over again. God took Noah and his three sons and started over again. So with that being said, that thing that separates you. And so now we're going to take a look at a scripture that would totally refute that. We're going to look at one scripture because time is going out, and on next week, if the Lord wills, we want to go to their next scripture that they use to justify their teaching in this. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. And it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of the hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and had tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, listen to that key verse, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And one other verse of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. After this, it really shouldn't take no more after this, you know, because that right there should have shut it down all by itself. But, you know, people, now the Spirit speaks. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. People, once again, what does it say? Some shall depart from the faith. The Spirit said the time is going to come when some shall depart from the faith. Once again, they use John, none shall be plucked out of my hands, which is true. But it does not tell you that you will not walk away. You are a free will agent. Hebrews 6, verse 6, if they shall fall away, that is the same term, apostasia, that is used in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. They speak that in the last time some shall depart from the faith. So people, once again, we see right here that, yeah, the enemy cannot take you away from God, but you can walk away from God. As you being a free will agent, a free will person, creation, you can decide to walk away, but the enemy cannot take you away. So this is the first thing as we begin to look at this, that the dangers of Calvinism, how that once saved, always saved is a lie. My time is up, and we'll see each other or talk to each other again or next week. This is Impact Now Radio. Have a good day.